Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And we're back! We're doing it again. We're actually talking about the TV show. I thought this was going to not happen like last year. Like how... Is this a lie? Are you guys lying to me? Are we going? Am I going to start saying justified things and you guys just go off and do other things?
We'll be silent on this side. Too good.
Actually, I thought we were talking about Glee. We're not?
No.
Oh, shit. Wasted all that time for nothing.
What are we actually talking about? what we should talk about is the fact that the Elysium trailer is out and it looks terrible. and the Purge trailer came out a couple weeks ago. We didn't talk about it. And that looks good.
Actually, I still have not watched the Purge trailer, you know.
That's why another horror movie that I kind of thought I want to watch.
Elysium trailer looks good, damn it.
It looks bad.
It looks good.
The movie's probably going to be good.
Yeah.
Although, I'm basing that off a director that has...
Damn right, a director and an actor.
He's directed a movie.
Ah, awesome movie, though.
That is fine, but it's still a... Many a bad thing has happened.
I'm so happy I'm not alone here. That trailer didn't look that good.
Yeah, that trailer looks terrible.
But you know what trailer looks awesome? Rush.
Yeah, but no. Three people.
No.
Me and two other people are going to watch that movie in the entire Western Hemisphere.
Honestly, though, that trailer, the only reason that you, Andrew... And if you like
no,
it, you,
it's
Damian.
Formula One. It's Formula One bias.
Okay, yeah, you have Formula One bias. You know why he likes it? Because he likes Thor. That's it.
He probably likes the director as well.
Oh, it's Ron Howard, right? Yes. Yeah.
But anyways, let's move on because today we want to talk about Justified, which has its season finale. A couple of weeks ago, the show has been picked up for a season 5 to be done. Next year, if anyone's interested, and just as with our
coming back this year, no,
I could be wrong. Could be wrong about that. And just like with the Walking Dead episode that we put out last week, we are going to go in detailed spoilers for season 4. So if you are wary of such things, I ask you to shut it off right now. Go listen to a different episode of this podcast where. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. If you're hearing this and you don't enjoy the podcast, I'd be very worried for you. But then again, this might be your first time listening to the podcast.
I listen to this podcast out of spite. I must tell you already. That's the only reason I listen. So that I can hate Douglas just a little more every week.
Why is that now? What is the latest bone of contention?
You see... There was a time when me and you were kind of on the same page. But this fantasy podcast has... This fantasy league is creating a rift.
Why is that? Why is
because
that?
I think you're going to win.
You know I'm going to win.
Andrew is confident and he smiles every week because his truckload of garbage is making him money. But I really do fear that you're going to win. And not by a small margin. I don't see how I'm going to beat you guys. I really don't. Stoker has made $3 more. It's looking very bad. And
Damien, what you need to do is you need to take a vacation trip and go to the States and just go to Stoker, like buy as many Stoker tickets as you can.
I like the fact that Andrew, because G.I. Joe will get to 100 million. Andrew has now 3 movies that have surpassed 100 million. I have one. You don't have, I mean, the host is, not even worldwide is the host making any money. But then I know Iron Man. Because the reason why I'm so sure is because Iron Man... We'll come at a time where everyone who's gone to the theater since the year has started has seen hot garbage. Nothing good has come out for this entire year. And the first time people get a reason to go to the theater, I think they're going to go and keep going. And yep. I'm afraid.
And I'm actually happy because that comes out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's almost here.
I looked at Karim's schedule and I kind of cried a little bit because I know I have no reason to even look at the theater.
Oh, wow. Iron Man comes. Why is that? What's coming out?
Scary Movie 5 and just a whole lot of garbage until Iron Man.
Not even Pain and Gain?
Pain and Gain won't come out before Iron Man. Not here, I don't think, because I didn't see it on the coming soon page. But I'd watch Pain and Gain. At this point, Andrew, I went to watch the Croods. The Croods wasn't showing.
How was it? Oh, okay.
Which I found hilarious. oh, my God.
I saw that movie today.
It is no longer a carb. And so I was faced with some very, very interesting choices. Olympus Has Fallen. I could go and watch that. I could go and watch something from Tyler Perry. I could watch... there was some... And just trash shows. Just garbage. And I think that is the first time I've ever gone to Carib with the intention of watching something. And at the ticket counter decided I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to go home. I was pretty sad.
Not even Olympus Has Fallen. No, I mean, it looks like it's going to be bad, but I kind of think I might go and watch it just to see like, a shitty action movie.
No. Oh, Die Hard is still there. It's still at Carib.
Die Hard is still there?
Yeah. And I could have finally watched it and I went, no. I don't want to watch Die Hard. I don't want to. Oh, it's so bad. Can't wait for Iron Man or Pain and Gain, whichever one comes first. But I think we're talking about, at least we're supposed to be talking about Justified. Douglas's favorite show on television. Right, Douglas?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's definitely up there.
Tump approved.
Definitely.
Favorite TV show.
Yeah.
Right. It's the reason it's lasted this long on the air. Our seal of approval. despite us not talking about it since it has started. So, season 4, who's going to give us a description?
Douglas?
No move.
Ooh, okay. Well, season 4 is about a mystery left unsolved for 30 years. In 1983, a man wearing a defective parachute plummets onto a residential street in Corbin, Kentucky, dying instantly. His body is surrounded by bags full of cocaine and an ID tag for Waldo Truth. Raylan learns of the mystery when a vintage diplomatic bag is found hidden at Arlo's house, containing only Waldo Truth's ID tag. Further investigation indicates that the parachutist died, but Raylan's father refuses to divulge any... I'm going to stop this.
Okay.
So
this has been Wikipedia readings with Douglas Robinson.
Why are you reading from Wikipedia? Oh my goodness.
You saw that was coming right out of his head?
Well, no. I knew it sounded scripted, but at the very least I thought he would have done due diligence to write his own description. Oh wait, I'm sorry, I forgot. Okay. I'm talking about Douglas.
Anyway, in this season, right? Essentially, clearly what I said is true, right? Wikipedia never lies. Wait.
I've never seen it. I've been on there for years.
Yeah.
I edit things on Wikipedia. Only the
So essentially what happens is, you know, there's kind of a case of not quite mistaken identity, but actual identity theft. Waldo Truth, there's this guy, Drew Thompson, and he more than slighted, he cut out somebody's eye. He stabbed Theo Tonin in the eye, and Theo Tonin is like the big Chicago boss. And so he...
Detroit,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Same difference.
Yeah. So in doing that, he stole Theo Tonin's cocaine, and in order to cover his tracks, threw somebody out, this Waldo Truth person, of an aeroplane without a parachute, so that he would die and he would have his Drew Thompson's ID on him. So, you know, they'd all say, Drew Thompson is dead. Oh, well, we can't get revenge on him for stealing from us. Fast forward now to the future or the present, and Drew Thompson is, well, all of a sudden, you know, Raylan realizes, hold on, maybe Drew Thompson still is alive. Maybe this was just, you know, a setup. And essentially, the whole season is about finding Drew Thompson. They do find him, and then Detroit comes into play, and it's like a fight between the Marshals and Detroit for Drew Thompson. It's actually really cool. This, can I tell you, I think, for me, the best part of this season, and in a sense, the rest of the seasons too, because it's essentially a recurring topic, and one that evolves and gets much more fleshed out as time goes by, is how Rayland is becoming essentially a horrible person. I mean, and when I say that, not a horrible person, because he always was one, but he's becoming more and more of, you know, you see him slipping and slipping until you almost look at him and you're like, are you a dirty cop? Not sure, but you're getting there. So he's always done questionable things to get the job done. And that's fine, because, you know, that is essentially what we came here to watch. We came here to watch a cowboy in a cowboy show act like a cowboy and, you know, just don't care.
In present day.
So essentially, you know, he doesn't care who he pisses off. He doesn't care how he gets it done, but at the end of the day, the bad guy is going to jail. That's really what this guy is all about. But in this episode, in the season especially, and you've kind of seen glimpses of it from before, he's now going a bit further with that attitude. It's not only just what needs to get done to put somebody in jail. All of a sudden now, in episode one, you see moonlighting, and for some ex-cop girlfriend to get her prisoner, which is,
she's still police.
She's still police, but it's definitely going around what he's supposed to be doing. Exactly. Right, yeah. And he does it more and more often. And I won't talk about it yet, because I think we should hold off till a little bit later. But in the last episode, mm-hmm. he kind of just says, you know what, fuck that shit. Right? He commits before you were like, well, there's a gray area. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's towing the... No, he crossed the line this time. Right? But that's, you know, my biggest love about this show is that it has me so invested in his character that I'm watching it and just watching him devolve from a badass outlaw to, well, not outlaw, a badass cop to probably now a badass outlaw, you know?
Damian, well, you're bringing up these things, but at the same time, we have who I consider the more important character of this show, who is Boyd Crowder, played by Walton Goggins, where we get to see his evolution. I mean, we saw him in season one as a white power preacher. We saw him in season two as a miner. We saw him in season three as this. All sorts of things, and now he's finally come back in season four, and he's come to actually try and build his empire. And you bring up the fact of Raylan becoming an outlaw. I completely disagree. You say he steps over the line, but he's always done what he's been doing from the get-go. He's been being the cowboy, being the marshal of the town. And in that last episode, he is not acting as a cowboy, as a marshal, but as an individual. And he may have continued in his gray area, but he never did anything illegal to any sense, because he wasn't forced by any form of law to do anything in that situation, because he wasn't a lawman at that point in time, technically.
Andrew Robinson,
mm-hmm.
It is scary to me that you're no longer in Jamaica. And you've sided with Raylan Givens at this point. When me and Douglas are here, and we know, Andrew, there's no gray area to what he did in that last episode. There's absolutely no gray area, Andrew. I know you're trying to, you know, tell yourself that, but that is not how, that's not how the law works. let me put it this way. If someone were to see him do what he did, would he go to prison? If yes, then it is illegal.
if someone saw what he did, they would say, you should go and testify for us. He wouldn't go to jail.
Okay.
What was he supposed to do at that point? Arrest someone? With what jurisdiction?
Wait, what are you talking about jurisdiction? This was like in his town. Andrew, also, he's a marshal. He doesn't have jurisdiction.
The fact that he was suspended doesn't change anything. That has no bearing on what he has done.
And anyways, that episode was the Taken episode, right? We're not supposed to cheer him on as a lawmaker who we enjoy seeing do things. Like from the first episode where he sat down at a table, looked at a Russian mob man and said, I'm going to shoot you in 5 seconds if you don't leave. And kind of pushed him into drawing so that he could justify shooting him. 'Cause that's what we always cheer him for doing. But in that last episode, we're cheering Liam Neeson walking down and saying, I have a special set of skills. That's who Raylan is in that episode. And
also, that makes it not illegal.
By the way, hold on, Andrew. I just like to make something clear, because you seem to believe that I no longer like Raylan Givens. That is not the case.
No. I'm merely pointing out that us kind of looking at the legal sense is defeating the purpose of that episode.
Us looking at the legalities.
I agree. That is not the purpose of the episode. All I'm saying is the man crossed the line. Yes. I enjoyed watching him do it. It entertained me to no end. Mm-hmm. And I will continue and like where this is going, because you can just see lots of potential for great drama coming from a man like this who does things the way he does, and now has essentially broken the levies. He now allows himself to do all sorts.
At this point, is making us sound like fools. This is a spoiler cast.
Yes, sir.
So I think we should stop. I think we should just talk about specifics when we need to talk about specifics. What Andrew is saying is. Not illegal, is Raylan Givens had an attempt on his family. Raylan Givens was suspended at the time and was told by his superior officer to not do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he does anything at any point, he's going to lose his job. Raylan Givens ignores that, which that is what we come here to see. But then he calls Theo Thonin's son, who is now the head of the crime family, to let him know that he is going to talk to essentially Theo Thonin's right hand man.
Yeah, Nicky somebody.
Right.
And what's
get
his name?
Him Augustine.
Yeah.
Right. And essentially set Nicky up in order to be murdered.
Where are you headed?
Oh, why? You need a lift?
Where'd you think you were headed?
That sounded kind of ominous. Getting right to the point, huh?
Sooner we get to it, sooner we get through it. No point delaying the unpleasantness.
Oh, are we headed for unpleasantness?
The deal I'm going to offer you. I ain't optimistic you'll take it.
Well, you know, negative thinking yields negative results.
Yeah, well, it's been a day.
Well, at least give me the chance to surprise you. No point in going into a relationship assuming people are just going to disappoint you.
You're right. I want you to turn yourself in, confess to murder, racketeering, obstruction, whatever other horrible things you've done.
Is that all?
I want you to swear you'll leave my family be.
Or?
Or you'll die here in this limo.
Well, you had it right not to be optimistic.
I'm afraid that's the best I can do.
You carrying a piece?
Glock 26.
Yeah, is that the same one you used to take out my guys this morning?
No. I pulled a Brett off the big fella. What are you carrying?
Oh, I don't have a gun.
Maybe you should get one.
Why? So you can have a reason?
You already gave me a reason.
Bullshit. Take one look at you. I know you're not the kind of guy who just execute me. It's not who you are. Then you come in here with your bullshit cop threats, knowing that if your bluff gets called, you can always hide behind your badge. I don't have a badge. All I got is my word. So if I say I'm going to kill your family, I'm going to kill your family. Because these animals out here, they think they can get over on me, they'll tear me to pieces. You want to know where I'm headed? I'm headed to Detroit to kill Theo's pasty little pussy of a son. But I'll be back for your family. You had a chance to save him this morning, but instead, you took out three of my guys. So the only chance they have now is if you use that Glock on me to end this. If you're not going to do it, get the hell out of my car.
Well, now we know each other.
If you set up someone to be murdered, Andrew, you are committing a crime.
As far as I saw.
As far as you saw, what?
Theo Tonin's son came and murdered him, and he just happened to be right after Raylan talked to him.
No, that's all I saw.
What happened?
I remember Raylan saying, he called you a pussy and said he was going to kill you. If you need motivation
to kill
someone.
That sounds like a fact
someone,
to me.
Right. If you need motivation to kill someone. And a police officer gives you said motivation.
No, but even worse than that, he said some. Sammy Tonin, who is Theo Tonin's son, said something about like, are you? You know what I'm about to do,
right? You as a lawman,
as a lawman, what are you going to do about it? And then Justified, that's his name now. Justified said something like, absolutely nothing, you know. And then he walked away.
Real Unjustified Givens said, I am not technically a marshal right now, so feel free to know the and Andrew, there's actually several crimes being committed, covering up the fact that you know that you have information about a murder is illegal. Yep. real illegal.
Let me cheer for my Raylan Givens, sir. Let me cheer
Andrew
for
Robinson,
my Raylan
Givens. I am on his side. They cross the line first. Look, Raylan Givens have been giving these guys problems for 4 seasons, right? Everyone knows him. Everybody knows that he's probably the last person you want to really annoy. And they said, you know what we should do? We should attack his family. And they got what they got.
Can I tell you, I was so happy when his ex-wife shot the guy. Both of them were just like...
Oh, so good.
That was fantastic. That was a fantastic scene.
The only thing I agree with Andrew is that Boyd and Ava were the centerpiece.
Oh, no, of course. And honestly, Boyd has been... if not a centerpiece from the beginning, and I've loved his character. I'm not putting him down at all, because he is the greatest, like, just cool kind of gangster.
Like,
you
he's
know
like what Raylan would have been had he not
exactly
joined the police force.
Exactly. But what season 5 is going to show us is going to be great, because Raylan not only has he essentially crossed his own line, which means now crossing will become much more easier time and time again, but also he just scored huge points in his job, so he's on the way up if everything is to be believed. So you have here two things at play. You have somebody who is on their way to being a high-ranking officer in the law enforcement space, who is willing to kill people or have people get killed. The possibilities for that, Andrew, are endless. And I'm not saying, oh, I hate Raylan, and I'm saying, please give me more.
I like criminal Raylan.
Yes.
This is the season that he shot the least amount of people, though.
People were talking about it a lot because, I mean, it wasn't until around episode fun. 6 or 7 where he actually shot anyone.
Right, that dude was a moron. I enjoyed watching him shoot that. What an idiot.
Which guy was this now?
That was the first guy that the prison transport guy, the black guy that he was transported.
Oh, when he came back in the middle of the season and he was like, I cannot die.
Right. And he's like, son, listen, I know you're at the bar. And I know that you think this is going to work out your way. But if you even look at this gun, I'm going to shoot you. And he had extra reason for shooting him because he did kill the two. I think he emptied the clip. Because I was 7 shots.
I think, to make up for all of the people he didn't kill in the
beginning of the season. I think it stopped being justified after the 5th round. At that point.
But that's one of the weirdest things to do with Raylan's character, because I mean they made a big thing in season 3 when he said he killed a girl, a woman, a justified murder as usual. But he kind of made a note, you know, it's the first time he shot a woman, and I think that was the point where you kind of saw his how much he paid attention to where he really needed to use violence. After that, when you watch those first 5 episodes of the season, it's really interesting. Even the first one where he first comes upon that guy and he has the gun pointed at him. I rewatched the first episode of the season, and you see him just shift off to the steering wheel where the airbag comes out at him, and it kind of shows where. Well, we always knew Raylan was a smart, a clever lawman, a clever figure, which is one of the things I love about him. We never saw him use that approach in violence, and that was kind of great. I mean, there's even an episode where he goes up against a fighter, and you see I can't remember her name right now, the female marshal, gives him a bean shotgun thing, and it just, like, it's kind of a shock when it happens because they don't really tell us. So it's, you expect that when he shoots a guy with what looks like a shotgun, this guy is going to just be sprayed across the screen. But it's just these bags which are being shot at him.
Yeah. I like the two other deputies. Whenever they bring them in, you know that it's for a purpose. Rachel is the lady that Andrew was talking about. And I love the fact that she might be the most fearless person that is in the show. Nothing ever seems to faze her, and she seems to be angry 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And I think of all the persons that you don't want to be in any situation with, she's probably the one that would probably kill you the quickest.
What was it that happened to her again? What, did her husband leave her or
her
something like that?
Divorced her.
Yeah. I remember.
Did that happen during the show?
No, it was part of in the first episode, some guy came down to take, what's his name? The boss. I can't believe him. Art. Someone came down to take Art's job. And Art was giving him a brief rundown of the situation in his department.
It was great.
Yeah, he's like, look, I have a girl here. She's probably the smartest deputy I have. But she just went through a divorce and bad things are probably likely to happen. I have an ex-sniper who is definitely going to murder somebody at some point real soon. Oh, and of course, my star pupil, Raylan Givens, who shot everyone he's come across. So at any point you want this job. Feel free. I enjoyed just how awful Raylan's father is.
Oh, like, yes. Oh, right, yes. Actually, can I tell you, it's right to the end, exactly. But that was a sad point in the show. Not because he died, but because he can never come back to the in another episode.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Breaking Bad with the two twins. Maybe twins. Oh.
Yes.
Guys, I know technically they're dead. We could find some way to bring them back into the show.
Yeah, some sort of nightmare or ghost story or something, right?
Just like this. Christ. So good.
No, but they brought them back as children. They showed you the children's story.
What's
no?
Yeah, when the big drug dealer Arturo, whatever the hell his name was, Pollo Hermanos.
Why are we talking about Breaking Bad? Can we jump back?
Okay, so one of the other things that I kind of wanted to bring up about this season of Justified, and one of my favorite things about this season of Justified, was the introduction of Patton Oswalt into the show. I don't know. I have no news as to whether he's going to be in season 5, but I pray he is. I was rewatching the third to last episode, the one where they're trying to get Drew out of Harlan, and that line Drew of Chewbacca just murders me every Drew time. And it's so weird because that scene in which Patton is being beaten to death by a man who calls himself YOLO, guys. He calls himself YOLO. Which when I heard it, it's...
Do you know why they call me YOLO? Because whenever they have to call me, shit's about to get real. That is his exact words. And then he started punching Patton Oswalt in the face. That was glorious.
But I mean, that whole scene is scored to... I think it's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Guys,
which just feels so weird.
Guys, I would like to pause for a second and talk about the greatest line that has ever been said in Justified history. When Boyd Crowder was having issues after his sex party foray, and he found out that there was people above him that were trying to keep him down, Augustine... realized that, you know, he was going to need help from Detroit. And, oh my God, what's the guy that lives in the trailer? What's his name?
Oh, Wynn Duffy.
Wynn Duffy. Wynn Duffy said, Nicky Augustine is sending some guys down from Detroit. One of these guys has killed more people than malaria. Oh, holy shit.
I did not remember that.
And then he proceeded to kill two people in about 5 minutes. He knocked at the door and he held up his phone and he's like,
"Oh yeah, that,
are you this person?"
That guy was awesome.
That guy.
Oh my God.
Geez.
That I like in movies when they say that they're bringing in professionals to do a job. I don't like when they come in and fumble their job. I want them to look professional. I remember the first time I saw something in Bourne's Supremacy. Supremacy is the second one, right?
Yeah.
In Bourne's Supremacy, about towards the end of the movie, they had an agent that they needed to activate to come and kill Bourne. And the guy was literally lying down on his bed. His phone rang. He looked at the phone, turned, picked up a bag, and walked out the room. All he was doing was waiting for someone to call him to go and murder somebody. And that is the type of professionalism I look for in people who murder other people. No jokes. No playing with people. The guy walked to the door, held up his phone, said, "Are you this person?" And I was eating.
No, it wasn't even that. He took the guy's picture and, like, and just sent it up and said, hold on.
"Are you sure this is him?" "Yes, sir." Bang, bang. And then just left. Like, yeah. He's killed more people than malaria. That is, oh my God. That is perfect. That is how I want to. When I'm gone eventually, that is how I would like to be remembered. I want on my tombstone, "Here lies Damian White. Killed more people than malaria." Some fantastic writing.
I'll make sure it's there, Damian, I promise.
Now, I've already bought that headstone, don't worry. Taking it upon myself.
So, Douglas, I have a question for you. Right? Because this is a show which I guess we've kind of talked about a lot of its highs, and a lot of its highs have to do with the straight narrative that it wants to tell from episode 1 to episode 13, which is generally the best parts of the show from any season. But I got a feeling with this season that somehow whenever it took a moment to deviate away from that narrative of like Drew Thompson or Boyd Crowder and Ava being the king and queen of Harlan or whatever, the show for me, it felt like it was a lesser show, and not in the same way that I felt like in seasons 3 or 2, where, for example, in season 3 we had a deviation episode in which I can't remember the character name was told he was taking away a kidney and had to go and do these robberies, and we had this amazing episode. But this season, the episode that I kind of think of is the one where Raylan finally first gets to murder someone, which is Damian mentioned him, the guy mm-hmm. from episode 1, where it doesn't feel at all anything to do with that through narrative, and it didn't really feel like that great an episode at all. Do you agree with that assessment, and how does that affect this season as it compares to others for you?
Well, all right. I'm going to agree with you without agreeing with you. yes, there were sometimes some portions of this season that were not up to scratch, right? But the truth of the matter is, not up to scratch by justified standards are, you know, like 10 times better than anything on regular TV. So there is that, right? But how this season compares to any other season, we know that the first two seasons were like bang busters, right? This show came off with a bang, and it's been slowly, I don't want to say burning, but slowly building since then. Hold on, there are only 4 seasons, mm-hmm. so since then would be just season 3. But yeah, season 3 was kind of like a bit of a plateau for me, but this season 4 again pushed that envelope. I think this is one of the better seasons, and it's not really, like, I think for season 1 and season 2, while they had great stories, I think a big part of why, at least I loved it so much, was because they had a lot of great episodes where, you know, something fantastic would happen almost every week. You didn't have that in season 3. And actually, to tell you the truth, season 4, we had it, but we didn't have it consistently. But I go back to what I spoke about when we started this podcast, which is that for me, the greatest part of this season was to watch Raylan devolve into this.
A dirtbag.
Yes.
Becoming a scum. Okay.
He's becoming a horrible person. Not just a horrible person, but a horrible lawbreaker, right? And that for
me. Are you saying that Matthew McConaughey and him have something in common? Oh, Christ. Damn it. Oh,
Christ.
More people need to watch Magic Mike.
Oh.
Okay, there we go. I don't know what you're talking about.
There are a lot of lawbreakers in this room. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I just had to. I heard it, and my brain went, "You have to, Andrew. You have to." Go on with what you were saying.
But yeah, to watch him devolve into that kind of a person, right? Coming where he's coming from, which I guess isn't really that far. You know, it's not too many steps from where he started to where he is. Mm-hmm. But it's such a significant step that for me, just knowing that he, one, has become this person, and two, could become something even far worse, buoyed this season up to probably I would have to rewatch 1 and 2, but I would say right now this is my favorite season. It's despite those breaks that you were talking about, you know? Damien, what do you think?
That question was directed at you and you alone. No one wants to hear anything from me.
Damien, same question.
I'm sorry, what was the question? All right. This is always going to happen with American TV shows. You have 13 episodes, so you need filler. You can't tell one strong narrative over 13 episodes. This is why BBC shows are usually so much better, because they only put out as many episodes as they need to finish telling the story. If you get 4 episodes, then that is the 4 episodes you're going to get. If, like Sherlock, you get 3 episodes, then tough luck, son. That's just that's just how it goes. When you spread it out this long, you know, you get filler. But what they do with the filler in Justified is kind of explore the characters more. They're not telling the full story, but they show you, you know, either to reaffirm character traits that you've already seen in them, or to show you like a slightly different side to them. Because even in that episode where he, the episode Andrew's talking about, where the guy came into the bar and he had to shoot him down, part of that episode there was a girl who he found out had some money, the money that the guy was looking for. And at the end of the episode, he said to her, "Look, I know the reason you have the bag. I worked it out. You have the money that the guy came back for. But, and as a lawman, I have to take it in as evidence. But if it were to somehow find its way back to his girlfriend and their son, then that wouldn't be such a bad thing," right? So you saw where, you know, he was doing what he always did, which is find, you know, the gray areas.
Yeah.
Douglas was saying, you know, yeah, he should report that, you know, the guy had the money and whatever, but as long as this girl will give it back to the wife and kid, then it's all right, because he already had to shoot this fool, and so he doesn't want any part of it. And there was another episode where he had to fight the bartender's husband, and you saw where Raylan was able to be fooled, because you don't, you didn't really see that a lot for the first 3 seasons, where someone definitely had something over on Raylan. And even at the very end, after she shot him and was driving away, he stopped her and asked her, you know, did you like me at any point? And she's like, yeah, kind of. And he's like, see, I knew it. You were just, I wasn't just a mark that you were using to steal my money. You kind of like me. So he felt better, but we knew that he was duped right from the start. You know, he was on the hook and she baited him and stole his money to buy chickens, which, fighting chickens. Guys.
Yeah, this guy, he's not the brightest so tool dumb. In the shed, no. But you speak about developing characters, and what I really love about this TV show is that consistently, year over year, they throw in strong, great characters. You know, season 2 there was, I can't remember her name, but the matriarch of that family,
Mags Bennett.
Right, Mags, is my favorite.
She was great. She was fantastic.
Season 2 was tremendous.
Yeah, it was.
Because of her.
Yeah.
And the dude from Lost who played Daniel Faraday was in
Let's
that
not
season.
Talk about Lost.
I don't know. Whatever. And then you had the crazy son with the limp, who was great as well.
That's but, Daniel Faraday.
Oh, okay, cool. Fair enough. But
sorry, what?
About Lost? But this season, Andrew, you talk about I've forgotten his name already. Patton Oswalt. Mm-hmm. You talk about Patton Oswalt. You know
Chewbacca!
You know who my favorite new character is for this year? Is Colt.
I'm honored.
Well, you should be. He's a big guy, real badass. Or he was. He's kind of losing his grip. When we meet him, he's lost someone. He started using dope that he confiscated.
Yeah, but then we find out that he's kicked again. And anyone who thinks he's in any way diminished is in for a big surprise.
Yeah, but he's the kind of character might say he's kicked, but we all know he's just one broken shoelace away from saying screw it and picking up again.
How about you have him go into a bar and pick a fight with some Rangers, and he sends a couple of them to the hospital?
It's not a fantasy. Anyway, he gets a bad feeling when they pass an abandoned vehicle, sees a second and a third, so he's thinking IEDs triggered by a cell. You ever come across anything like that?
Me personally? No. But I did hear about this one convoy a couple of Frankensteins and a gun truck on Highway 10.
So the spotter, he calls a halt between the first two cars,
thinking the Hodges will blow the second if it moves forward, and the first if it tries to go back.
Well, how'd they get out of it?
Yeah, they didn't. Because they were too afraid to move,
they just sat there in their vehicles,
pissing and shitting in their helmets.
Too afraid to toss out the windows
on account of possible snipers.
Then they ran out of food.
They started eating each other
till there was only one left, and he blew his brains out. You want to know
the sad part?
Oh, there's a sad part?
Yeah, because they were
so afraid to move, they never found out whether or not the cars had explosives.
So basically, they all died from being pussies.
Yeah, Colt is...
Colt is fantastic.
Jesus.
I
knew he had to die. Right? I understood. But guys, I like Colt.
Yeah. See, here lies the thing. I like Colt as well. I loved Colt. But I didn't like drugged up Colt. I don't know. He kind of felt like a stereotypical... the drug user who's gonna fuck up because he's on drugs, as opposed to just being second best to Tim kind of story, which I think would have been so much better.
No, but if he wasn't on drugs and didn't fuck up, then he wouldn't have been in that situation. He was thrown out of the army for a reason. People, if you don't take drugs and you have your life in order, guess what doesn't happen to you? You get thrown out of the goddamn army. Right, it was clear that he wasn't the as straight-laced and button-up as the other marshals. You even saw that the first interaction he had when Boyd said, "All right, take care of him," and he turned around and shot that guy.
Oh,
but it's like, dog,
I couldn't believe that
you were supposed to cut him, let him loose. But it's like, I guess I'm going to have to be a little bit more careful with my words around this lunatic. I went, oh, of course, he's not well adjusted. He's a crazy person. And then when you found out that he was on drugs, and seriously on drugs, you go, that is how people with a lot of military training goes about things when they're on drugs. They're still straight killers, but they're, you know, their judgment kind of iffy. And you saw that when he wasn't on drugs in the final couple of episodes, when he set up that trap in the on the highway when they were driving the convoy and he set up the three cars, you saw that clearly he was, you know, he was somebody smart enough to know that, you know, if he does this way, then he'll stop the convoy, because whoever else that is in there that has been in these situations. And when he was on the phone call, he went, right, these guys are smart guys. They've seen a lot of things. He's only on this side because he's a fuck-up and he's high on drugs. But he's still unbelievably smart.
Yeah. And I love that phone call.
It was great.
I would like a young John... Depardieu to play me in the movie.
And what's more, I thought that was so hilarious because he actually does kind of look like Depardieu. Yeah. That was
I like how he got to the sniper's gun away from him. He's like, oh no, he's in the convoy, and the guy's like, no, he's not. He's like, wait, give me the gun, I'll see him. He's like, oh no, he's not there, and then shot. What? guys, you're dealing with criminals. Don't hand criminals guns. When they went to the school looking for whatever the guy's name is.
Drew Baca!
Drew whatever his name is. When they went to the school and Raylan was talking to him, he's like, look, if it's just the two of you, then this is not going to work. You're going to need more guys. And then casually walk back up the stairs. And then they brought in more guys and Raylan's like, look, son, by the time you are through shooting me and then searching the school for this guy, my friends are going to be here. So it's easier you guys just, you know, sleep. You know, like, wow. To have the balls.
Can I tell you?
To say that to people who have come to murder you.
And
you
have
know
the,
that.
And have the guns pointed at,
right?
You already.
You
yeah.
have goated them into bringing more guys for the purpose of murdering you. And then when they get there, like, this city, if I were you guys, I'd just throw down the guns, lie on my tummy. Like, oh, he's so...
Is it weird that, that more than that, I kind of remember when they first come in the room and they see Patton Oswalt all beaten to shit. He just says, yeah, people underwhelm him at their peril. And I just keep remembering that line, and I love that line so much. Because Patton keeps saying that throughout the season.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, people underwhelm me, underestimate me at their peril. Like, yeah.
Hey, guys, Justify is really good. Did you know that?
No.
So, at the end of this season, we're left with Raylan having, as you guys say, crossed the line.
Yes.
Boyd is free and clear. However, Ava is gone to jail for grave robbing of some sort.
No, for murder.
Well, that too. But we know that grave robbing is a definite, you know, scratch. That's on the list. I can't say what else has really changed throughout the season.
Win Duffy is now in a much stronger position in terms of heroin.
Isn't Win Duffy dead?
No. Win Duffy, what happened is Win Duffy didn't find Drew Thompson or messed up somehow,
right,
and he ran away. Yeah, he ran away to make sure that he wouldn't die because Nicky Augustine was going to kill him.
Right.
But now that Augustine has been killed, he has no problem. So he's now back in Kentucky. He's, as Damian says, running the heroin, and Boyd is now underneath him, essentially.
Right.
But
Stephen Tobolowsky is dead.
Yes, they shot him right quick.
Yep.
Because he was worthless. I like how everybody's aware that Theotonin has people on the inside feeding him back information. And everybody just goes, this is going to happen. So we just need to work fast. Because he has guys on the inside. Both the criminals know and... Arts division realizes that there's the only way for him to be in lockstep the way he is if there's someone in the law enforcement that is feeding him back the information. So if we're going to fix anything, we need to fix it now. Can't wait because bad things happen. Like, okay. And we're not going to explore that. No, we're not going to light a fire and force out the informant. Police work seems fun.
Do you guys think that Art will be in the show for much longer because he's continually talked about retirement and such?
I hope so.
Yeah, he's great. I don't know if they're going to get rid of him, but I really love his character. He's kind of awesome.
He's the best boss in the world. Like, if Art was my boss, my job would be thousands of times better. Because it's clear that he understands what is actually happening. He's not just bitching and moaning for the sake of bitching and moaning. And he's earned the right to do all of that madness. I did enjoy the reveal of who Drew Baca was.
Yeah, that was...
And
that was
I like the fact that he had to give up his drugs and his money. Because when he parachuted and landed, he landed poorly and had to be hospitalized. Like, oh, your entire plan blew up in your face. I like how heroin took the crowders from out of trailers and put them into houses. Okay.
The only thing that I have to say that I was kind of disappointed in this season was one of my favorite things from season 3 and was definitely the fact that we were now introduced to the Hollow with Limehouse, and we only see him for about 2 episodes near the end of the season. And there's even something I picked on when I was revisiting those episodes, where when Ava comes in to get Ellen May, basically shows him, look at this big pile of money, now give me the woman. And he refuses her, saying he sent her away. He kind of makes this comment about the fact that the Hollow isn't doing that well, that he's had to sell off land and things aren't looking that well. But we haven't seen anything from there. And I want to still be in that world, mainly because I love the guy who plays Limehouse that much.
That's his, That is terrific. But it's what garlic shrimp for and unless they can find legitimate reason to put him in the show, just having him in the clearly, show for no reason.
They're going to have a shrimp distribution company out of the hollow. They're going to do all sorts of kinds of shrimp. They'll do garlic shrimp. They'll do Cajun shrimp. Right. They'll do fried shrimp.
Shrimp cocktail.
The shrimp on the Barbie.
Oh, man.
Bubblegum shrimp action. You guys are
more. But anyways, I'll leave it there. I don't know if there's anything else we really want to say about this season.
I want a Tom Hanks cameo in this movie. I just want him to be eating shrimp for no reason. Just
have in the hollow. Across. In the hollow.
Just have him walk across, have everybody stare at this fool eating shrimp. And then three people will get why that's funny. And we paid a lot of money to Tom Hanks to get this done. I think it's worth it.
Yes, yes, it will.
This is the reason why we're not in charge of anything.
Probably not. Idiots. Probably not.
So that was the podcast. Hopefully, you know, we kind of got messed up with our recording schedule. So hopefully, in a few days, you'll hear the normal scheduled podcast will be coming out. But this is us, you know, talking about television that we love, and I hope you enjoy it. As usual, you can find the podcast over at G-Man Reviews, as well as on iTunes and through the Stitcher Network. You can also find me on Twitter at G-Man Reviews. Douglas is at DJ, I lost his name. And Damien, I'm going to say, is at Damien_White, because I saw him tweeting. I did. I saw it. I believe it. He might just be actually using the thing. Who knows? But then I might be scaring him away. So I didn't say that. So I hope you enjoyed and have a good night. Where he took a pretty girl to be his bride. Said, won't you?